always we were on. We're on the fourth excess of love, I think, when we stopped the other day. And to just give a little brief summary, Louisa, every Christmas, did these this novena, Christmas novena, of the nine excesses of our Lord's love for us. Louisa says, with the novena of Holy Christmas at the age of about 17, I prepared myself for the Feast of Holy Christmas by practicing various acts of virtue and mortification, and especially by honoring the 9 months with which Jesus spent in the maternal womb, with 9 hours of meditation each day, also always concerning the mystery of the incarnation. So in the first excess of love, he talks about, to Louisa, about the Trinity agreeing to allow him to come and be conceived in Our Lady's womb, and the great love that the Trinity had for us to send Jesus for all he would have to suffer. The second excess of love goes on to say that the interior voice says, do you see how much I have loved you? Oh, please make a little space for me in your heart. Remove everything which is not mine, so you will give me more freedom to move and to breathe. He was in his mother's womb. He couldn't move or breathe. He wasn't like most babies. He had the use of reasoning. He understood everything. He understood how much love that he had for all of his children, and how much he was going to have to suffer for us. So that goes on in a third excess of love. He talks further about that. He says, as I moved on from the second excess to the third meditation, an interior voice told me, my daughter, place your head upon the womb of my mama and look deep into it at my little humanity. My love devoured me. The fires, the oceans, the immense seas of love of my divinity inundated me, burned me to ashes, and sent their flames so high as to rise and reach everywhere. All generations from the first to the last man, my little humanity was devoured in the midst of such flames. But do you know what my eternal love wants me to devour? Our souls. And only then was I content, when I devoured them all, to remain conceived with me. I was God and I was to operate as God. I had to take them all. My love would have given me no peace had I excluded any of them. Ah, my daughter, look well into the womb of my mama. Fix well your eyes on my conceived humanity. You will find your soul conceived with me and the flames of my love that devour me. Oh, how much I love you and I do, how much I have loved you and I do love you. So, our Lord was just, just so much in love with us that he was willing to suffer everything, and how cramped he was in his mother's womb. But he was willing to come into the world, suffer terribly from the moment he was conceived. All of his life was a life of suffering. And then the fourth excess of love, where we are now, he says, my daughter, from the devouring love, move on to look at my operative love. Each conceived soul brought me the burden of her sins, of her weaknesses and passions, and my love commanded me to take the burden of each one of them. And he conceived not only the souls, but the pains of each one. So we were conceived with him. And not only were our souls conceived with him, but the burden of all our sins. He took all that upon himself, even in his mother's womb. It conceived not only the souls, but the pains of each one. He conceived all of our pains, everything we would suffer throughout our lives, as well as the satisfaction which each one of them was to give to this my celestial father. So my passion was conceived together with me. Look well at me in the womb of my celestial mama. Oh, how tortured was my little humanity. Look well at my little head surrounded by a crown of thorns, which pressed tightly around my temples, made rivers of tears flow out from my eyes, nor was I able to make a move to dry them. Oh, please be moved to compassion from me. Dry my eyes from so much crying. You who have free arms to be able to do so. These thorns are the crown of the so many evil thoughts which crowd the human minds. Oh, how they prick me, more than thorns which sprout from the earth. But look again, what a long crucifixion of 9 months. I could not move a finger or a hand or a foot. I was always immobile. There was no room to be able to move even a tiny bit. What a long and hard crucifixion, with the addition that all evil works, assuming the form of nails, continuously pierced my hands and feet. So he continued to narrate to me the pains upon pains, all the martyrdoms of his little humanity, such that if I wanted to tell them all, I would be too long. So how much our Lord suffered and how Louisa could meditate on this. She meditated an hour on each one of the 9 excesses of love for 9 hours every day. She did it for 9 days because she had such love for God that she had a lot of food for thought. I mean, she knew so much about him. She was so in love with him, and she had all these knowledges that he had given her about who he was, that she could understand his suffering. She could understand his life. She could understand his humanity and his divinity. So, you know, we have to just ponder that. And like she did, ponder, just put yourself in his place, in his mother's womb, not able to move, not even able to dry to wipe the tears from his eyes. Just like when he was crowned with thorns, we read how he couldn't even wipe the blood and all from his face that was falling all over into his eyes and everywhere. As a little baby in his mother's womb, the same thing happened there, that he couldn't even move to wipe his eyes, the tears from his eyes. So, you know, we must just meditate on all of this, meditate on his great suffering. One of the greatest and best ways to grow in holiness is to meditate on his passion. But his passion was from his conception on. He lived his passion. So to meditate on the 9 excesses of love is also sort of like meditating on the 24 hours of the passion, you know, because that's when his passion began. That's when his suffering began.
Yeah. And there's not a lot of words to read for each of the excesses. You know, we get a little taste. So I encourage everybody to bring these to prayer, you know, to read them, to meditate, but also allow the Lord to take you into contemplation. Ask him to be the guide of your meditation. Ask him to show you what he wants to show you, and reveal to you what he wants to reveal to you. Louisa was a mystic in a very extraordinary way, but we're all in a way called to be mystics. We're all in a way called to have that intimate conversation with Jesus, and he wants to reveal himself to us. But we just have to give ourselves the opportunity. We have to give him the time before him. We have to give ourselves that place of silence. If you can get to a chapel or a church and put yourself before the Blessed Sacrament, if not, a quiet place in your house, and just give him that time to talk to you and give him that silence, and give him your listening, and he will talk to you and he will reveal something, and he'll do it in a way that you won't have to question, was that me? Was that him? But you'll know that it's his voice.
To continue on with the 4th excess of love, it says, I abandoned myself to crying, and I heard in my interior, my daughter, I would like to hug you, but I am unable to do so. There is no room. I am immobile. I cannot do it. I would like to come to you, but I am unable to walk. For now, you hug me, and you come to me. Then when I come out of the maternal womb, I will come to you. But as I hugged him and squeezed him tightly to my heart, with my imagination, an interior voice told me, enough now, my daughter, move on to consider the 5th excess of my love. So I think we should hug him. Like he was asking Louisa to hug him in his mother's womb during this time before Christmas. Go into Our Lady's womb with him. Keep him company there. Hug him. Embrace him. Wipe his tears for him. In reality, it will be happening. In divine will, if you desire it, all of that will be happening. You will be in Our Lady's womb with him, consoling him. Actually, he says we're all conceived with him in his mother's womb, and we're all born with him in Bethlehem. So you can place yourself in all of these places. You can place yourself in Bethlehem with him when he was born. You were born also with him. That's what it says in these writings, you know.
Yes, I did the 5th excess of love. So I'm going to move on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? Okay. And the interior voice continued, my daughter, do not move away from me. Do not leave me alone. My love wants your company. This is another excess of my love, which does not want to be alone. But do you know whose company it wants? That of the creature. See, in the womb of my mother, all of the creatures are together with me, conceived together with me. I am with them. Oh, love, I want to tell them how much I love them. I want to speak with them, to tell them of my joys and sorrows, that I have come into their midst to make them happy and to console them, that I will remain in their midst as a little brother, giving my goods, my kingdom, to each one of them at the cost of my life. I want to give them my kisses and my caresses. I want to amuse myself with them, but how many sorrows they give me. Some run away from me, some play deaf and force me into silence. Some despise my goods and do not care about my kingdom, returning my kisses and caresses with indifference and obliviousness of me. So they convert my abusement into bitter crying. Oh, how lonely I am, though in the midst of many. Oh, how loneliness weighs upon me. I have no one to whom to say a word, with whom to pour myself out, not even in love. I am always sad and taciturn, because if I speak, I am not listened to. Ah, my daughter, I beg you, I implore you, do not leave me alone in so much loneliness. Give me the good of letting me speak by listening to me. Lend your ear to my teachings. I am the master of masters. How many things do I want to teach you? If you listen to me, you will stop my crying, and I will amuse myself with you. Don't you want to amuse yourself with me? So he really wants to be with us and do everything with us. And, you know, if you love somebody, you always think of that person, want to be with the person. And this is how Jesus loves us. He really wants to be in a deep union with us. And he finds joy and happiness by being together with us. And he was conceived in the womb of Mary, we all together were conceived, as Mother said. And we also grew together with Jesus in the wisdom and truth. And Jesus wants to continuously give and receive love between him and us. That's the only reason that he came from heaven to the earth, because he wants to give us the complete happiness. And for that reason, he wants to, he desires to lay down his own life. And this is such a biggest sacrifice and the biggest love a person can give. But what does he receive? He only received happiness, sadness, people despise him. They forget about him and always leave him alone. So he's so lonely and nobody consoles him. So he wants all of us to be with him and to repair the love that is rejected. So this is very, like, while reading this excess of love, you can truly learn how much Jesus loves us and why he came onto the earth just to give us the complete happiness. He can sacrifice everything at the cost of his life.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of he says we're indifferent and oblivious to him, and he's kissing us, he's caressing us. It reminds me of before my mother died, I asked her, I said, Mother, would you come and tell me where you are after you die? And she said, well, I don't know if I can, but I will if I can. Well, she came to me in a dream on Our Lady's birthday. I dreamed it was Our Lady's birthday, and it was. And I dreamed it was 3 o'clock in the morning. When I woke up, it was 3:30. And she just came to tell me, she says, please live every moment for God. She says, you cannot imagine in this life who and what God is. But she says, God is unbelievable. She said, heaven is fantastic because God is there and God is unbelievable. She says, but I know that you can't understand in this life, but she says, please realize you should live every moment for him and him alone. And, you know, I was just thinking of that when I read this about our indifference, how we're oblivious to everything. If only we realize the reality of God and who he is and what he is, and that he's with us. He's closer to us than we are to ourselves. He's within us. And we forget that. We're not paying attention to him, you know. So we have to just remind, even though we can't know in this life exactly the reality of the whole situation, we have to just tell ourselves that and believe it and know that it's real and that God is wonderful. God is fantastic. God is unbelievable. If we meditate upon that, I think we just fall in love with him so quickly. And
Well, going back to what you were saying, Mother, about that, about Jesus, you know, loving us so much, and about what your mother had said. Well, it reminded me also of what Our Lady of Medjugorje had said more than once to the visionaries, was that if you only knew how much I loved you or Jesus loves you, you would cry, you would die of joy. So it's so true, because, you know, we're human, our brains, you know, our imagination is so minuscule compared to God. So that's why we can't comprehend, but on one hand, let's face it, we ain't got the tools. That's why we can't comprehend, but that's it. That's the thing. But it's just so beautiful to try to tell ourselves, try to keep in mind, try to remember that, you know, the immense love and joy that awaits us, that exists, even though we don't physically feel it, we're not aware of it. Because again, like I mentioned, like we ain't got the tools to comprehend this magnitude. But I don't know, just made me think of that, of Our Lady of Medjugorje.
Our San Marino sisters want to share anything?
Hi.
Hi. Hello.
Hello. Yes, I was thinking about how different is my way now to my way to read the Passion of God, because at the beginning in the past, when I didn't know about the divine will, sometimes I meditate the Via Crucis, and it was not too much for me, because God, he was man, and in one day he suffered so much, but it was something that I missed, because you are God, you are able to suffer all this for us. But there was two things that I miss. One is the most important thing, why he did this for us, for love. And we can more understand reading the divine will. And the second thing, what I discovered in this novena of Christmas, the fourth day, especially when Jesus said that he suffered since when he was conceived. Without this reading, I never imagined this. I never imagined also the time that Jesus was in the womb of Mary, and how also is I was meditating this for this day of the novena. I was there was a little connection with in my meditation with volume 12, February 4, 1999, when Jesus explained that there is a difference between the pain that he suffered from creatures and the pain that he suffered from God, from the Father, because from the creatures he suffered the thorns, all the things that we know, that how I can be, but I prefer to speak about. And from the Father was where many, many suffering multiplied for each sin, for each bad action from each creature in all the times. So at that point, our mind can arrive. And all this was for our love. And in these passages, I like to read this part, it's almost at the end, when he say that, beloved daughter, Jesus speak to Louisa, beloved daughter, newborn of my life. If you read all these passages, you can understand that he called her newborn because of this pain, because of each death that he suffered, we receive life. And he say, come into my will, come and see how much there is to substitute for my many acts. Still suspended, not yet substituted for by creatures. My will must be within you as the primary gear of a clock. So not only is a big thing to meditate, for being more near to Jesus, but we have a mission. We have to substitute. We have to link all this up and stay with him in a way that we can call other souls to discover all these beautiful things that also me in the past I can understand, I can imagine with my mind. So it's more important to read, to enter in this richness of these rites. Yeah, even the reading the fourth excess of the of love, where he says, you know, the little thorns were pricking his head from all the evil thoughts from human minds. You know, that's even something I think that we need to remind ourselves, you know, that, you know, the things that kind of come across our mind, you know, all of this, you know, we're striving to live in the divine will at all times. It can't be just during prayer time and then, you know, you go back to your usual. It's, you know, it's all the time. He wants to be with us in everything, in every moment. So it even means in our thoughts, you know, and we have negative thoughts, or if we have, I guess if we're accustomed to thinking in a negative way, we have to realize, oh, wow, I've got to change. You got to change that, you know, and think of Jesus, you know, and with Jesus and link to him. And, you know, the more you do that, then, you know, you do change.
You feel the experience like Jesus and Lisa, my newborn of my life.
Yeah.
We reborn, because for each our sin and our death, he give us life.
Yeah, and he says when he was born in the first Exodus, the fourth one where we were born with him, when he was conceived in Our Lady. Also, I was reading in volume 12, March 22nd, 1919, actually before the one before, the passage before this, March 20th, 1919, he allowed Luisa to participate in all of his divine pains. And so if you want to read this, you know, she saw everything that he suffered, and she went through it, and she said that it was like she was dying, and then the divine will just gave her back life. You know, she experienced all of this that Jesus had experienced, and Our Lady did too. He had mentioned it. And then towards the end, he tells her, okay, you who have somehow known the reality of the many deaths suffered for all, do not put it in doubt, but love me, be grateful for all, and be ready when my will calls you. And so that kind of, even though, okay, I may not know it, I know it from what the, you know, reading this and meditating, but Luisa really experienced it. And he's telling her, you know, so I take it as like for me too, okay, I need to just love him. I need to be grateful for all things. Like Mother always tells us in the scripture, it tells us, be grateful and give praise to God in all things, you know? And so he says it here, and also be ready when my will calls you. Then my meditation was on this March 22nd, 1919. He talks about how everything was in the fiat. Everything came to life through the eternal fiat. Everything has the fiat, the supreme fiat. And can you hear me? Yeah. Okay. And so anyway, so he's telling him, you know, if he's telling Luisa, you know, if the stars can... let me see if I can find it here. In fact, okay, a star would say to the sun, it's true that you have much light and heat. Your office is great. Your goods are immense. The earth also depends on you, so much so that I do nothing in comparison to you. But the fiat of God made you so. Therefore, our values are equal. The glory which we give to our Creator is completely similar. So, you know, just, you know, like, you know, whether you do, even in the sense that whether you do small things or great things, so long as it's in the will of God, it's equally, it's equal of value. Then he goes on and says, Jesus tells her, it was not so in creating man. It is true that his origin is my fiat, but this was not enough for me. Taken by excess of love, I breathed on him, wanting to infuse in him my own life. I endowed him with reason. I made him free. And I constituted him king of the whole creation. But man, ungrateful, how did he correspond to me? Amid all creation, he alone has become the sorrow of my heart, the clashing note. And then how much could I tell you about my crafting in the sanctification of souls? Not only one fiat, not my breath do I place at their disposal, but my very life, my love, my wisdom. Yet how many rejections, how many defeats my love receives. Ah, my daughter, compassionate my heart's sorrow and come into my will to substitute for the love of
of the whole human family so as to soothe my pierced heart. So him giving us his very life, his love, his wisdom, giving us, you know, the, you know, ruling over all creation, you know, it's, we need to console his heart, and but not, and that's the beauty of the divine will, of doing it not just for us, but in him, with him, through him, for the good of all humanity, past, present, and future.
But they're all talking, aren't they? There's nothing quiet about them. We're on the sixth excess of love now. And I want you to put yourself in Luisa's place here. This is a beautiful meditation, all of the nine excesses of love. But, you know, our Lord was talking to Luisa, but he was also speaking to us. And he wants you to put yourself in her place throughout the volumes. When you read all the volumes, know that he's speaking to you when he's speaking to her. He's speaking to each one of us as he speaks to Luisa. So it says here in the sixth excess of love, my daughter, come pray, my dear mama, to set aside a little space for you within her maternal womb, that you yourself may see the painful state in which I find myself. So picture yourself, our lady giving you a little space in her womb so you can console Jesus and be there with him. So in my thoughts, it seemed that our queen mama made me a little room to make Jesus content and placed me in it. But the darkness was such that I could not see him. I could only hear his breathing while he continued to stay in my interior. My daughter, look at another excess of my love. I am the eternal light. The sun is a shadow of my light. But do you see where my love led me and what a dark prison I am? There is not a glimmer of light. It is always night for me, but a night without stars, without rest. So place yourself there with him in this very dark place. It's like a prison, and he wants your company. He wants you to be with him. He wants you to spend this time with him in his mother's womb as he prepares to come out on Christmas Day. You can be meditating on each one of these excesses of love, putting yourself in Our Lady's womb with him, you consoling him and keeping him company. I am always awake with pain, the narrowness of this prison, without being able to make the slightest movement, the thick darkness, even my breathing, as I breathe through the breathing of my mama, oh, how labored it is. To this add the darkness of the sins of creatures. Each sin was a night for me, and combined together, they formed an abyss of darkness with no boundaries. What pain, oh, excess of my love, making me pass from an immensity of light and space into an abyss of thick darkness, so narrow as to lose the freedom to breathe, and all this for love of creatures. And as he was saying this, he moaned, moans almost suffocated because of the lack of space, and he cried. I was consumed with crying. I thanked him. I compassionated him. I wanted to make him a little light with my love, as he told me to, but who can say all? Then the same interior voice added, enough for now. Move on to the seventh excess of my love. So put yourself in Luisa's place. She wanted to make a little light for him with her love. You do that. Make a little light for him in his mother's womb with your love. That will light up his space. If you just love him, that's all he wants is your love. He's dying to be loved by you because he loves you so very much. If you knew how much he loves you, you'd die of joy. You couldn't handle it. So he hides it from you as a veil between him and you with concerning his love.
Yeah, so it's important during this Christmas season to really just remember how much Jesus loved us. And God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son into the world. And as John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. It's really important to remember how much Jesus loved us. And to also remember that each sin we commit against Jesus, whether it's mortal or venial, it adds to like this darkness, because each sin we commit, it's like a new night. And moving on to the seventh axis of love. Okay, so the seventh axis of love. The interior voice continued, "My daughter, do not leave me alone in so much loneliness and in so much darkness. Do not leave the womb of my mama, so you may see the seventh axis of my love. Listen to me. In the womb of my celestial father, I was fully happy. There was no good which I did not possess. Joy, happiness, everything was at my disposal. The angels adored me reverently, hanging upon my every wish. Ah, axis of my love. I could say that it made me change my destiny. It restrained me within this gloomy prison. It stripped me of all my joys, happinesses, and goods, to clothe me with all the unhappiness of creatures. And all this in order to make an exchange, to give them my destiny, my joys, and my eternal happiness. But this would have been nothing had I not found in them highest ingratitude and obstinate perfidy. Oh, how my eternal love was surprised in the face of so much ingratitude, and how it cried over the stubbornness and perfidy of man. Ingratitude was the sharpest thorn that pierced my heart from my conception up to the last moment of my life. Look at my little heart. It is wounded and pours out blood. What pain, what torture I feel. My daughter, do not be ungrateful to me. Ingratitude is the hardest pain for your Jesus. It is to close the door in my face, leaving me numb with cold. But my love did not stop at so much ingratitude. It took the attitude of supplicating, imploring, moaning, and begging love. This is the eighth axis of my love." So Jesus is telling Luisa here how much our ingratitude hurts him. And when I was reading this, when I was meditating on this, I was remembering about how grateful are we that Jesus comes to us in communion every day, you know? Like that, like the Eucharist is Jesus, and it's very important to be very grateful to Jesus and grateful for the sacraments. And to remember that ingratitude really hurts Jesus, and to always be grateful to Jesus and to thank him for all the gifts and blessings he has given us. And Jesus even tells Luisa here, "Ingratitude is the hardest pain for your Jesus." And every time we're ungrateful for Jesus, or we might take any blessings or graces for granted, or if we ever end up taking the Eucharist for granted, we have to remember that we're closing the door in Jesus' face, leaving baby Jesus numb with cold. So it's important during this Christmas season to not take Jesus for granted, to thank Jesus for the incarnation, for God becoming man, and to always be grateful to him, and to also make reparation for other people's ingratitude. Because during this time when there's a lot of worldliness and Jesus is unfortunately pushed to the corner, it's very important to remember to say, "Thank you, Jesus, for being born for us this Christmas. And thank you for dying on the cross for us and opening the gates of heaven for us."
I think in the seventh excess of love, you can place yourself there in the womb of Our Lady and tell him, you thank him with his own gratitude. You know, in divine will, we can take his love and love him with his own love. We can also take his gratitude and be thankful to him with his own gratitude, which would make it a divine thanking of God for everything. Thank him for all he suffered in his mother's womb. Thank him for the darkness that he had to experience. Thank him for taking all of our sins upon himself. So go into Our Lady's womb and meditate on that, on thanksgiving. Hugging him, kissing him, and thanking him for all that he's done for us. We have a little spirit with us now, Pamela. She's from Texas, and she wants to share something.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Yeah, so we can see that from all of the exes that Jesus shared to Luisa, It's basically he just wants to be loved from his creatures. Like he wants everything he has given to us back, but not only from our creatures, but with his divinity. If we fuse ourselves within him, we can give all like everything he has done for us, his love, his purity, his divinity, everything. And I found that really, really interesting. And I can even imagine how much love he has given to us. And I think we can only fuse ourselves within him to be able to give that back to him. I wanted to meditate on the sixth excess too of love, where he says that he founds this darkness and from his mama womb. And I think that if we offer to him his own light, we can give him that freedom and help him to not suffer from this darkness that he's facing. But yeah, I think we should meditate during this, not during this time only, but every day of our lives, how to offer to Jesus his same love, his same thankness, thinking. Like to thank him with his own gratitude and everything, yeah, that he has done for us in his divine word.
Very good. Yes, I think we need to just, you know, meditate by putting ourselves in the position. When you put yourself there with him, it makes the meditation so much more real, you know, that you're there with him. And you can be there with him and Louisa, because Louisa says she's putting herself in the womb with Our Lady. Be there with her if you want to, and experience all that she experienced with Jesus in his womb. Then there's the, let's see, we did the eighth.
We just finished the
seventh. Seventh, okay. Now we're on the eighth excess of love, huh?
Can I add something?
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to add something to the seventh excess of love. Our Jesus, he was in the womb. He was totally with the divinity. And then he continued to grow in the maternal womb, very narrow. And it was so dark. Oh, it was dark. And imagine since he was God-man, he had full reason. And he couldn't move at all in that deep night. And in the Virgin Mary book, Our Lady said that this darkness is formed by our human will. And as we commit the sins, we voluntarily enwrap ourselves in the abyss of darkness, and we are forming this obscurity around us. And but on the other hand, because Jesus once wanted to rescue us from the darkness of the sin, and because he wants to free us from the evil, he voluntarily put himself in the sweet prison of our celestial mother for 9 months. I cannot really imagine myself like being in a narrow and dark space with the full reason, but Jesus did it for the sake of us. And this was also heartbreaking for Our Lady, because her maternal heart, she saw and knew everything that Jesus was crying and suffering in her little womb. So Jesus really suffered unheard of and indescribable pain, but he still never stopped. He never said enough, despite of all the sins and ingratitude we give to him. And he put aside the heaven, the eternal happiness and joy, only to exchange his destiny with our unhappiness. So we should really meditate his love and be grateful for the love for us.
So I guess now we're on the eighth excess of love. It says, my daughter, do not leave me alone. Place your head upon the womb of my dear mama. Place yourself there. Put your head on the womb of our dear mama. And even from the outside, you will hear my moans and my supplications. And seeing that neither my moans nor my supplications move the creature to compassion for my love, I assume the attitude of the poorest of beggars. And stretching out my little hand, I ask, for pity's sake, and at least as alms, for their souls, for their affections, and for their hearts. All he wants is your love. All the Divine Will writings, it's all about love. What is the Divine Will? It's God loving us and us returning that love to him. So my love wanted to win over the heart of man at any cost. And in seeing that after 7 excesses of my love, he was still reluctant. He played deaf. He did not care about me, and he did not want to give himself to me. My love wanted to push itself further. So think of yourself, all the times that you have been ungrateful to the Lord, all the times you have been unfaithful to him in our sins and our faults and our failures. And just go into the womb of Our Lady and just tell him you're sorry and ask his forgiveness. He's full of mercy. There's nothing you could have done that he would not forgive. But go to him now as a little baby in his mother's womb and ask for forgiveness. And show him your gratitude for his great mercy and his great love for you. It should have stopped, but no, it wanted to overflow even more from within its boundaries. And from the womb of my mama, it made my voice reach every heart with the most insinuating manners, with the most fervent prayers, with the most penetrating words. And do you know what I said to them? My child, give me your heart. I will give you everything you want, provided that you give me your heart in exchange. So all he wants is your heart, and he will answer all of your prayers if you just give him your heart. That's why the saints could get God's whatever they wanted. They could ask and God would respond because they had given their hearts to him. Our Lady, our Lord cannot say no to his mother. She lived totally in divine will. She was conceived without sin. We were conceived with sin, but we can reach the same place by living totally in his divine will. And he will never be able to say no to you. All the prayers, all the requests you make of him, as long as it's according to God's will, he will give it to you because he cannot say no to a person who loves him so much. So he says, here, my child, give me your heart. I will give you everything you want, provided that you give me your heart in exchange. I have descended from heaven to make a prey of it. Oh, please do not deny it to me. Do not delude my hopes. And in seeing him reluctant even more, many turned their backs to me. I passed on to moaning. I joined my little hands and crying with a voice suffocated by sobs, I added, oh, I am the little beggar. You don't want to give me your heart, not even as alms. Is this not a greater excess of my love, that the Creator, in order to approach the creature, takes the form of a little baby, so as not to strike fear in him, that he asked for the heart of the creature, at least as alms. And in seeing that he does not want to give it, he supplicates, moans, and cries. So our Lord is just, he's not asking for much. He's just asking for your love, your heart. He wants your whole heart, but he's going to give you so much more in return. And giving him your heart will give you such joy, such peace. You have the happiest Christmas you've ever had if you can really meditate on these 9 excesses of love and give him your heart in the process. Then I heard him say, and you, don't you want to give me your heart? Or maybe you too want me to moan, beg, and cry in order to give me your heart. Do you want to deny me the alms I ask of you? And as he was saying this, I heard him as though sobbing. And I, my Jesus, do not cry. I give you my heart and all of myself. Then the interior voice continued, move on, move further, pass on to the 9th excess of my love. If only we knew how much he loves us, we would return that love. But we're so blind, we're blinded by the fact that God has this tremendous, tremendous love for us. The Father, that he's willing to send his Son. He left his father's a wonderful place with his father in the womb of his father, where there was great contentment, great love, great peace, great joy, to go into a dark womb of Our Lady for 9 months. Okay, anybody want to share?
Yeah, I was just thinking, I don't remember what you just said, but it made me think like that's the key, that we have to really believe that God loves us as much as he does. We don't believe it because we don't love ourselves. And, we have a hard time loving other people at times, especially if they've hurt us or wounded us or just sometimes even just annoy us. But God's not like that. He loves us so unconditionally. And I think especially in those moments where we don't love ourselves, in those moments where maybe we have shame or guilt or our weaknesses, these things we can't go seem to overcome. I think those are exactly the places that we need to bring to Jesus. And we have to just kind of sit before him and say, okay, I'm going to let you love me like this now. Because that's all he wants to do. He wants to love us in the places where we don't love ourselves, love us in our weaknesses. And he's just ready to fill our hearts. And you know what actually happens there? He starts to heal the wounds that cause those weaknesses. He starts to strengthen us because we're strengthened by his love. And that's how we love him genuinely in return, and not just kind of like pretend it, you know, not just say it, but really have no feelings on the inside with it. And that's how we really learn to love others too, because once we learn that we're lovable, even in the places where we have shame, even in the places that we're not proud of, once we realize how much we're loved in those areas, then we have more compassion and love for others in the weaknesses that they have and their shame. So that's something you may want to meditate too on the rest of this Advent season, the rest of this week, and in the Christmas season. Like, just sit before Jesus and just tell him, you know, love me, love me the way I am. Show me your heart. Just show me how much you love me. And that's what he wants. It's not selfish. That's exactly what he wants us to do. And then that love in return for him is just going to come so naturally, that gratitude. It's just, you're just going to be singing it, you know, throughout the day, because we're going to be like people like newlyweds, you know, totally in love, that it's going to just ooze out of our pores. But we're receivers. We have to receive it from him first and then give him back that very love. If we don't receive it from him first, we don't have anything to give him back. So we have to receive his love first, put ourselves in his arms, put ourselves in Our Lady's arms and in her womb, receive everything that they want to give us, and then return it to them.
That's it. We've got nothing to give him except he gives it to us first. So that should help us grow in humility and realize our nothingness. Since nothing is ours, everything we have, every gift, every talent, everything is God's, not ours. But I think, you know, just as he was in our Lady's womb, he lives in each one of us. He's within you. So you can meditate on the presence of Jesus within your soul, of the Trinity dwelling in your soul. And I think if you do that, you're going to love yourself more in the right way. You know, like Sister said, we have to love ourselves. We love ourselves before we can love God, but we love God within ourselves. And that's how we get to that place where we love him also in all others. As we see him in ourselves, we're going to see him in everyone else, but you must see him in yourself first. And you can grow in that realization. If you start somewhere, you have to start thinking of him, looking at him within yourself. You know, he was in Louisa, and he would come out. She was consoled when she would see him. But he would say, but Luis, you don't understand. I'm closer to you when I'm within you. But she wanted to be consoled by seeing. We all want to see, feel, and touch. We all want visions, corporeal visions. We want to see. We don't like the interior vision. But he lives within. You have to see him within yourself and love him within yourself. So go into your own womb. Go into your heart and soul and console him there as a little baby. Think of Jesus right now within your soul. Maybe during these days of the nine excesses of love, novena, you could think of him as a baby within you, as he was in Our Lady's womb, and console him there and in all the ways that he wants to be consoled, mostly with the love from your heart. You want to share anything?
Well, there was something when Grace was speaking earlier about trying to, you know, keep in mind Jesus, especially nowadays, you know, with all the worldliness and stuff going on. And it reminded me of something that I did growing up, and I still do now, actually. But when I was little and my mom wanted to, you know, teach me about that, like, you know, when it's Christmas, yeah, you know, you get presents and stuff, but it's really Jesus's birthday, and we gotta make sure that we don't forget about Jesus. You know, like she was trying to teach me, you know, keep Christ in Christmas. So what she told me is like, okay, so it's Christmas Day, like before we open the presents, what she would do is she would bring out baby Jesus and put him in the nativity scene, because she kept him hidden throughout all of Advent, and he was out on Christmas Day for the rest of the Christmas season. Before putting him in the nativity, she would, like, we would all kiss, you know, the child Jesus and put him there. And then she said, now, when you're like opening up the presents, just think about baby Jesus the whole time. It's his birthday. Because like, you know, again, I'm a little kid. So she's like, because you see, what happens is when people don't think about Jesus, you know, he gets very sad and he's crying because it's his birthday. No one loves him. No one's thinking about him. So I always had that image in my head, you know, so whenever I was, it was the time of opening up the presents, I just kept on trying to remember about Jesus and I would use my imagination seeing him as a baby, you know, with Our Lady and Saint Joseph. And even though I'm here and obviously I'm not with my family, but I make it a point also before we have our celebration, we're going to open up our presents, you know, whatever useful gifts that mother gives us, you know, and I would make sure that I would go find, because we got multiple baby Jesus statue. So it helps. I had different shapes and sizes, so I can just pick one, you know, just give him a kiss and then just wish him a happy birthday before we go celebrate. So I don't know, it reminded me of that when Grace was talking about that. So.
Yeah. One of the creche we have on the table here in the parlor, in the grand hall here, we have a big table with a big creche scene on it. And there's the little crib where Jesus is going to come on Christmas, but he's not there yet. So every time I pass it, I kiss it. I kiss the little spot that he's going to be, so that when he comes, he's going to have all these kisses when he gets there, you know.
I just want to say it's fun to run into mother when she's not expecting anyone to be around. It's like you catch her like mid kissing, like a statue or whatever. And she kind of pauses for a second when she sees you come into the room. And then she,
I was a little girl, my mother had lots of statues all over the house and she kept adding to them all over the shelves everywhere, you know. And every time I went through every room, I had to kiss every statue and I felt I'm going to hurt their feelings if I miss one, you know. So I kissed them all and it took me longer to walk around the house, you know. But if my brothers and sisters saw me, they would make fun of me. So I tried to hide it, you know. But anyway, I was happy to hear Mother Glory did the same thing as a little girl. So I thought, I'm in good company because she's kind of a holy person. So I thought, maybe I can imitate her. I'm not holy, but maybe I'll get there that way. Anyway, what I was going to say too is when I taught school, I used to tell the kids, we get presents at Christmas time because it's Jesus's birthday and he lives in us. So the presents really are given to him. But in his will, you're playing with the toys in the divine will. You're letting Jesus play with the toys in you. So it's a divine act. So when us, I used to teach the kids.
So we're getting toys, mother?
About the divine will. You get toys. This will be Jesus in you playing with the toys.
Toys and toothpaste.
Okay. Anybody here?
Don't forget the scented candles.
So I just wanted to share with you all the spiritual reading that Jesus gave to me this morning, because when I got here, I was telling mother that before coming here, I was so excited about it. And the first day that I was here, I just felt like depressed and sad and down. And I was like, what is going on with me? Like, I was so excited to come here and not all of a sudden I'm just sad. And I remember I went to my adoration and I asked Jesus, what do you want from me? Just tell me what do you want from me. And today he gave me this reading from the Book of Heaven. It's May 29, 1905. And it says It's May 30th, 1905. And it says, the life of love of Jesus. Continuing in my usual state, I was saying, Lord, what do you want from me? Manifest your holy will to me. And he said, my daughter, I want you all in me so that I may find everything in you, just as all creatures have life in my humanity, and I satisfy for all in the same way. By being all in me, you will make me find all creatures in you. That is to say, united with me, you will make me find in you reparation for all, satisfaction, thanksgiving, praise, and everything that the creatures are obliged to give me. So I had no words for that. When I read that, I was like, I'm sorry, Jesus. I'm so sorry for being sad because you don't deserve it. Like, you give me everything. And I'm so thankful for him. And as we said earlier, the only thing he wants from us is to be loved and to receive everything he gave us to give him back to him.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. So quickly going back to the seventh axis of love,
just like being grateful that Jesus came here incarnate, God become flesh. And then something I'd also like to add for the eighth, and another meditation I thought of when looking at the eighth axis of love is that this Christmas, Jesus comes to us as a little child. God, the creator of the universe, took the form of a little baby, as he tells Luisa here. Is this not a greater axis of my love that the creator, in order to approach the creature, takes the form of a little baby so as not to strike fear in him, that he asks for the heart of the creature, at least as alms, and in seeing that he does not want to give it, he supplicates, moans, and cries. So God comes to us as a little baby, so he won't strike fear in man. And this Christmas, the greatest present we can give to Jesus is dying to our human wills and striving to live in the divine will and to give Jesus our hearts this Christmas and to love him with his own love.
Do you want to hear from the San Marino sisters? Do you have anything to share over there?
Yes, just one second, Mother.
What?
I just would like to share something. Therese would like to share.
Hello, it's Therese. Hi, Therese.
Hey, what's
up? While she's looking for it, when y'all were talking, I was thinking about St. Augustine, how when he said, I think the quote was, love him and do whatever you want. Because really, when you love somebody, when you're in love, you want whatever that person loves. So when Mother, you were reading the excess, I was thinking of that.
Did you find it?
Yeah. Okay, here she is.
So I don't have much to say, it's quick, but in the ninth excess of love, down the bottom, I think, the first paragraph on my phone, Jesus says, this was the ninth excess of my love, to agonize and to die of love continuously the creature. Oh, what a long agony of 9 months. Oh, how love suffocated me and made me die. Had I not had the divinity with me, which gave me life again every time I was about to finish, love would have consumed me before coming out of the life day. So I was just thinking recently, or a couple of months ago, actually, before I came here, I was reading whatever volume it was. I was on 28 or something, and I haven't forgotten. It's just one line saying the greatest suffering someone can have is to love and not be loved in return. And that, like, you think, how is that the greatest suffering? Surely there's other pain, but you think about it, that is the greatest suffering. That was the whole passion, more than is, you know, external whip scourging or exterior pain. It's the interior pain of not being loved, and that we don't really see, or that's not as evident or kind of not as vivid because it's not visible. But if you've experienced it, you know that to be the greatest pain, and like that's one of the causes of all suffering in the world, like lack of love. And in Christmas, like you just see, you just go outside, and it's all Christmas is just like it's I don't know a word for it, world. It's very like it's turned very worldly, and it's not focused about on Jesus at all. So that I always think that would hurt, and just kind of the worldly pomp and just I don't know. It's all just it's like it's not focused on him at all. It's all about kind of material things and pleasure and just fun for us, but like that's nothing compared to what it is about, and that shouldn't be like they're all nice to have, but it should be all like focused on him as a little baby. And that would like I just feel like that hurts him a lot, because everyone today in mass there's about 10 people in mass, literally less than that. And I just think there's hundreds, San Marino here, there's just hundreds of people out there shopping and eating, and it was just depressing and sad thinking like how upset God would be with just the neglect and lack of love when he loves all of them as much as he loved, like he died and he was born for each individual out there. And that's
it's not their fault, but it's just like that. It would just be, it would hurt so much. Yeah, and that's just what I was thinking.
That reminds me of what we were listening to with Father Mike. We were listening to a talk by Father Mike Schmidt, and he was saying, you know, he gave an example of how when they were kids, you know, they'd ask the mom, what do you want for your birthday? She would say, I just want you guys to like not fight for one day, or I would like for you to, you know, clean up and, you know, or do this, you know, or, you know, something. And so they're like, no, mom, but what do you really want? So then he said that him and his brother were out, like outside with their scooters or something, and they were doing these tricks, and then the sisters went and borrowed money and then went shopping because they love to do that. And so they went and showed their mom, they called their mom, look, we learned this for your birthday. But really they were doing things that they wanted to do. They weren't doing anything for like a sacrifice for love of the mother, because it was about the mass and how love is sacrifice. And what you were saying, Grace, reminded me of that. And it's like, this time is not about us, what we can gain for ourselves. It's about Jesus, you know? And even it brought me to what Francesca was saying, because, you had mentioned how, you know, the not being loved is the greatest suffering. And like, you know, I think it's a lie that we believe sometimes, especially when Francesca was saying how the places that we don't love ourselves or we feel unlovable, well, the Lord does love us in those places. And so in a sense, we don't believe it. So we don't accept his love. And so I think that's a beautiful thing she said, that especially during this time, allowing him to love us in those places.
Yes, that's what the reading said. That's what I read. Like, his suffocation was from love. Like, it's dying from love and not being loved in return. And you just see that everywhere in the world. Like, no love for God.
Yeah, the ingratitude, like as Grace was saying, Grace over there in Talanello, like the ingratitude for the sacraments. And I was actually thinking the same thing today when we were at Mass. So there were even less than 10 people, mm-hmm. less than 10 people in a big basilica.
And there's like hundreds outside.
And 100 outside, yeah. And then you think, wow, they don't really have the time to come for even less than an hour to thank God for like it's only once a week.
And love him.
And and love him. And now we still have access to Mass. So who knows if tomorrow we have access to Holy Mass. And with all these changing rules, and every day it seems to get stricter and stricter. And so we really take things for granted. Everything we get everything for granted, like even the gift of life that we have every day. How many people thank God for the gift of life every morning when we wake up? Probably very little. And this is the ingratitude that Jesus suffered, like to really thank him for the littlest things that we receive every day.
Just a little thing, listening all your meditation, Mother speak about the darkness in the womb of Mary, Grace about this miracle that Jesus came in our hearts through the Holy Eucharist. And I was thinking a passage from the writings of Luisa, now I don't remember what it is, Jesus speak about the three prisons. And there are three prisons that he needed, he experienced, and the first is the womb of Mary, because he was in the darkness and he can move his body. And also since then he feel this lack of love from us. And the second was the prison, the real prison, when he experienced the passion, and he was really in the prison during the night, and he was very tight, legato, enchained. Mm-hmm. And the third prison is the Eucharist. because he said, okay, he was in the womb of Mary, it was a prison, but there was Mary. And in the Eucharist, they feel only the coldness of the iron, the ingratitude, the sacrileges, and all these things. And every time that we are in front of him, and every time we receive him, we are in one sense like mother, that we have to give it to him company. And in one way, we have to, I don't know if there is the correct words, but forget, like to not have in mind, and forget to give perdono,
forgiveness
to all the people that don't know him. And if we do this, we can try to take his heart in our heart for love the people that are not at mass, because it is very difficult. Because in a human way, it's normal to say, it's so sad, but we have to fight. We have to fight not only for Jesus, but also for them. And thinking about this, I was thinking also, there is another prison, the fourth.
This is not in the writings, but it's in my mind.
Because in the Gospel of John, now I know that it's the Gospel of John only because I searched on internet for the a little translation. And he said, now in the place where he had been crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. And the tomb is our heart in a spiritual way, in a material way, it was the tomb where he was put. But in a spiritual way, his tomb is our heart. So when we see all these people walking, it's a tomb of Christ.
Yeah, well, we'll do the ninth excess of love here. My daughter, my state is ever more painful. If you love me, keep your gaze fixed on me to see if you can offer some relief to your Jesus. A little word of love, a caress, a kiss will give respite to my crying and to my afflictions. Listen, my daughter. After I gave 8 excesses of my love, and man requited them so badly, my love did not give up and wanted to add the 9th excess to the 8th. And this was yearnings, sighs of fire, flames of desire, for I wanted to go out of the maternal womb to embrace man. This reduced my little humanity, not yet born, to such an agony as to reach the point of breathing my last. But as I was about to breathe my last, my divinity, which was inseparable from me, gave me sips of life. And so I regained life to continue my agony and return again to the point of death. This was the 9th excess of my love, to agonize and to die of love continuously for the creature. Oh, what a long agony of 9 months. Oh, how love suffocated me and made me die. Had I not had the divinity with me, which gave me life again every time I was about to finish, love would have consumed me before coming out to the light of day. So he suffered so much from love that he was about to die. But yet the Father would let him live, and he had to die again, come close to death again, you know, on and on, you know, because of his great love that was suffocating him and making him come near death. Then he added, look at me, listen to me, how I agonize, how my heart beats, pants, burns. Look at me, now I die. And he remained in deep silence. I felt like dying. My blood froze in my veins, and trembling, I said to him, my love, my life, do not die. Do not leave me alone. You want love, I will love you. I will not leave you ever again. Give me your flames to be able to love you more and be consumed completely for you. So God's love is like a flame. I read the book on Elizabeth Kendelman, The Flame of Love. And I know a lot of people who are reading the Divine will also, pray in the Flame of Love Rosary, and that devotion has all been accepted by the church already. But what I understand from it is the flame of love is the love of the Trinity, coming to the world through Our Lady's heart so the divine will can reign. So the flame of love is the love of the Trinity, coming to the earth through Our Lady. Our Lady is the great intercessor. She's the intercessor of all that we receive. She's the co-redemptrix and intercessor of all graces. So, you know, there's a flame of love coming our way if we open our hearts to it at every moment. In December 19th, 1928, speaking of the nine excesses of love, Jesus told Luisa, he says, "These nine excesses of my love manifested with so much love of tenderness and simplicity form the prelude of the many lessons I was to give you about my divine fiat. In order to form its kingdom, and now by their being read, my love is renewed and redoubled. Don't you want then that my love being redoubled overflow outside and invest more hearts so that as a prelude, they may dispose themselves for the lessons of my will to make it known and reign." So the nine excesses of love was like a prelude for the 36 volumes that he gave us to read on his about his divine will. After this, the confessor was reading in the chapel the first excess of the love of Jesus in the incarnation. And my sweet Jesus, from within my interior, pricked up his ears to listen. And drawing me to himself, he said to me, "My daughter, how happy I feel in listening to them. But my happiness increases in keeping you in this house of my will, as both of us are listeners. I of what I have told you, and you of what you have heard from me. My love swells, boils, and overflows. Listen, listen, how beautiful it is. The word contains the breath. And as it is spoken, the word carries the breath that like air goes around from mouth to mouth and communicates the strength of my creative word. And the new creation that my word contains descends into the hearts."
I'd like to share the beautiful effects and graces that Luisa received when she read the nine excesses of Jesus in the incarnation. One of our good friends sent this to us, and then it was just perfect for this today's cenacle. Actually, these passages are from volume 25 and 27. So the first one from the volume 25, December 16, 1928. Luisa, as usual, she was thinking about the nine excesses of his incarnation, and Jesus caressed her with his tiny little hands, and he said to her that he really wants to talk to each one of us, but we do not listen to him. We just keep him silent and suffocate his flames. But he says the nine excesses of love, it contains so much life and love and grace. And because his word is a creation, by reading it, by meditating the excess of love, he says he creates new love in order to invest our souls. And from volume 27, December 22nd, 1928, Jesus says that he really wants to be loved by us. And he's like groaning and mourning because he doesn't get enough love from us. And he says, our Queen Mother, she gave him the field to pour out his love and to receive in her maternal heart all the love that creatures rejected from him. So she was the depository of his rejected love and of all the goods of the incarnation. She was the sweet company of his pains. And with her ardent love, she dried his tears. And now he's calling us to be his second mother. And our company is so necessary to him. And so we gotta really place ourselves at his disposal and just receive that all the goods, the great goods that he wants to give us. So in essence, just by reading it, by meditating it, Jesus renews all of his love, which he had in incarnation in our souls. And the second effects and graces that Jesus gives us is that he gives us the possession, the endowment of the kingdom of the divine fiat. And third, he makes us a second mother of Jesus. So this is really great, beautiful effects and graces that he gives us just by reading it and meditating the excess of love. So this should really encourage us to read and meditate until the Christmas.
Well, I guess unless somebody else has something to share, we're just about done here. So we can wish y'all all a very Merry Christmas and prepare well for Christmas by meditating on these beautiful 9 excesses of love. Bye, Peter.
May I share, Mother?
Yes. Can you hear?
Okay. I was able to listen to a little bit. I apologize, but just a couple of quick points. Of course, I can't not talk. But the first point, I think it was Mother, you said about we've learned that the womb of our Lady is a familiar place. It should be, because we were co-conceived in essence with our Blessed Lord. So, you know, that familiarity, that deja vu, so to speak, should be there. Second, I'd like to comment on what Sister Francesca said about we need to believe, we need to trust, we need to have confidence. None of this will make any sense, and God will never go any further with it unless we embrace all three of those, trust, believe, and have confidence. So really have nothing to lose by doing so. The third I'd like to mention, if I may, is what Sister Scholastis said. She said about using her imagination. I think when she was younger, or maybe now, I'm not quite sure what, I couldn't really hear. But the imagination, I think, is something we mentioned about last week on Radio Maria. If I may just read a little bit here, just in the closing couple minutes. This is from Father Nuzzi's Divine Will Prayer Book. But he says, at the age of 17, Luisa composed this Christmas novena, which she refers to as, of course, the 9 excesses of love. And the important thing is she never ceased to recite these or this novena even until her death. So this wasn't a one flash in the pan. It wasn't a once a year. She recited this often. I think that's important. Number two, getting back to what Sister Scholastica said about imagination. In the following 9 excesses of love, Luisa often uses her imagination to envision the Lord's condition in the womb of the Virgin Mother. And then he goes on to say that we too can use this imagination. Actually, God encourages us to. St. Bernard, I'd like to quote from. And St. Bernard is a father. I think he's a father, if not a doctor of the church. He's also in our breviary, 169 for all the religious. Emphasize that he's a saint. St. Bernard says and tells us that, quote, the word was made flesh and even now dwells among us. It is by faith that he dwells in our hearts, in our memory, our intellect, and penetrates even into our imagination. What concept could man have of God if he did not first fashion an image of him in his heart? By nature, incomprehensible and inaccessible, he was invisible and unthinkable, but now he wished to be understood, to be seen, and to be thought of. And that's from a homily of St. Bernard. And last but not least, this imagination, to take it further, St. John of the Cross affirms that when God infuses in us or in the soul contemplative prayer, that the soul should abandon its active imagination, sort of give that up and make way for the passive imagination so that God can sort of take over, sort of like a, what do you call that when the car drives by itself, like a automatic pilot, so to speak, cruise control. St. John of the Cross goes on to say that this is the practice of beginners, to begin with a meditation. But then again, because we're finite, the meditation draws to a conclusion or a limit or a crisp. And at that point, that's when we have to defer to God. Because in essence, contemplation we know is a gift. It's a mystical gift. And it really takes over where our meditation leaves off. So I think all of these insightful hints and information that's given to us can be used throughout our entire journey in the Divine Will, all the volumes, the hours of the Passion, not just confined to the Christmas Novena. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can, very little bit, and it's in and out.
Thank you.
But I liked being a spectator today, though. I like what I saw.
Thank you. God bless you all. Okay.
Merry Christmas. So Mother, would you like to close us with a prayer, please?
Okay, we ask you, dear Lord Jesus, through the intercession of your Holy Mother, that we will receive many special graces and blessings as we prepare for your coming on Christmas Day, that we will be totally united to you, and focused on you rather than all the things that the world presents to us to distract us from your this holy time, your birthday, Lord. And may we just really learn to love you and learn to love everyone. Love everyone with your love, Lord Jesus, in his most, in your most holy divine will. And as a gift, we ask you, Lord, to give each one of us a great gift to live totally in your holy divine will this Christmas, to do acts and rounds in your divine will continually, to give us the grace to do that. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. And just to feed that imagination before we leave, Mother, we mentioned about Saint Bernard. Remember that Saint Bernard and also Saint Cyril of Jerusalem, they both, among others, spoke of this third coming of Christ. Now, hear me out before you call me a heretic.
No, we didn't hear it.
You froze right at the heretical moment.
Could you say it again?
Oh, really? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Okay.
Yeah. Well, Saint Bernard and Saint Cyril, among other of Jerusalem, and among others, they speak of a third coming of Christ. Yes. One that comes between the first and the second, sort of a 1.5 coming, but it's a time of preparation. It's also a time when Saint Bernard mentions that only the elect will notice and recognize our blessed Lord. So in essence, this is the Father Nuzzi corroborates this. He says this is the divine will. This is the era of preparation. Christ is coming to us in a mystical way, interiorly, like St. Louis de Montfort said he would do in the end, at preparing us, cleaning us, getting us ready for his second coming. So this is the time for all of us to prepare. And we're being given all the tools. So that's
it's the reign of the divine will that's coming in our hearts. That's what it is. That's just the intermediate coming.
Amen.
And Our Lady's Immaculate Amen. Heart will triumph. Yeah. That's how it gets. Well,
even Father, Mother, Father Gobi said that with the Marian Movement of Priests, a very, very popular devotion. The era of peace, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Eucharistic reign of our Lord. Father Gobi says none of this will happen until all are living in the divine will. And he mentioned Luisa Picaretta by name. It's on the Marian Movement of Priests website. It was a talk he gave in San Marino, Italy in 1996. So even he admitted and accepted the fact that all the locutions that he was receiving from our Blessed Lady would not come to fruition until the divine will was realized.
Well, in 1990, August 15th, he received a message that everyone would be willing and be living in God's divine will in the future. That's in Mary Movement of Priests in the book. I remember reading that August 15th, 1990. She talked about the divine will to him.
Feast of the Assumption. Yeah, and just for food for thought, on our website at queenofthedivinewill.org, we have a page, MMP and the Divine Will, where we have about 50 or 70 quotes from our Blessed Lady speaking directly, succinctly about the divine will. I think including the passage that you or the quote that you just mentioned to others. So it's really encouraging. Again, all roads lead to the divine will, no matter what road or back road we're on. Right. But thank you, Mother. So there'll be no Radio Maria this Thursday, but we'll see each other. San Marino sisters, always great having you. I see you got the new microphone. We'll reimburse you. So we'll be back in 2 weeks, if not, no, actually we'll be back a week from this Thursday on Radio Maria and then 2 weeks at the School of Mary. Okay. Love you, Mother. Love you, sisters. And thank you, everyone. Thank you for your patience today. And hi.
Merry Christmas.
Glad to see everyone. Bye-bye. Oh, actually, you know what I'll do? While we have a moment, let me allow everyone to unmute themselves if they want to say goodbye. Okay. I think everyone can unmute themselves if they'd like to. Or is that not working, are they? There we go.
Wow.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Bless you. We love you.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Thank you again.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Again.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Luisa Borrego has
love to all.
Mariah Neglisex, I vote, has left the
God bless you.
O'Shaughnessy has left the meeting alert. Nice. And Daniela Hirda Sova has